Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. As while Joe is doing a radio show, he is scouring through, I guess, some list where they've come out with the top 500 songs of all time. That's a heck of a project to take on.
Rolling Stones, top 500 songs of all time. Yeah, I mean, it's so I'm going through this, and I mean, I love most of the songs. I'm like in the 200s right now that they have on there. But then it's like Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way, you know? And I'm like,
oh, that should be higher.
Don't. That is my favorite song ever.
It's a good song, man.
Joe. See, but
it's
is it in the top 200?
This is generational. Okay.
Where do they have it?
Yeah, it's like 250 something.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd put it at 250.
Well, but you know, yeah. The top 500 songs is very. So there's going to be some stuff that infuriates anybody.
Sure.
That goes to. Right? But then you got like Pearl Jam Alive is on there. So for example, I love Pearl Jam. Alive would be like way down my list of favorite songs, but I get why that would be on the list, right? I mean, it's a good song, but I'm just saying, like, some of these are, like, if you really love a band, you probably don't love some of the songs that are on this. Like, they are songs that you're sick of, and you listen to
deeper cuts. Right, you want more of the deep cuts.
But, no, most of these, I mean, and there's lots of Beatles, as you would expect, of course.
Yes, I really
Number
that.
One, I'm going to guess it's a Beatles song, but the question is which one. Or it could, well, who knows? I'm getting there. I'm getting into the...
We'll find it.
Low 200s.
Probably around 8:45. Rex Road will have worked his way through this list fully. So we'll
they
see
got
what happens
me clicking. You got to keep clicking.
That's right.
Click through.
That's right. Joe, obviously lots of overreaction, really league-wide, in week one. We see this every year. People freak out. Tampa Bay got destroyed in week one last year by New Orleans. Tom Brady threw a pick six. And people were looking at Tom Brady saying, man, he looks really old. I don't know if that's going to work out in Tampa Bay. And people were looking at Cam Newton in New England and saying, oh, that Belichick. He's found him some Cam Newton and just going to go right along. And we know how that played out last year.
Nice job, NFL. Yeah. You let Belichick get Cam.
So I say all that.
Congratulations.
Exactly. So I say all that to say it's very difficult to read too much into week one. But overreaction is the name of the game in sports talk radio, and overreaction is the name of the game in NFL fandom. So with that in mind, I'm going to throw out different topics that I've come up with from the Titans' week one performance against Arizona, and you tell me whether or not it is an overreaction. Are you ready to begin?
I'm in. Let's go.
All right, let's start with this one. It's time for Titans fans to be worried that Kevin Byard will never be the same Kevin Byard. Is that an overreaction? Is that not an overreaction? He did have an interception on Sunday. Looked rough at times as well.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one because I don't have an instant answer. Ooh. I'll say not because, again, that standard is one of the top, two, three, four safeties in the league, right?
Yep.
And I don't think that's been the case last year and now in the opener. Again, that's a big play he made. But he also was on the receiving end of a couple touchdowns. So, yeah, I'll say not, but that one is a hard one.
I think it's difficult because I think I could have asked the same question before the season began. And there are Titans fans out there that are worried that Kevin Byard is not going to ever be the same Kevin Byard based on what we saw last year. Now, I still have an open mind on that. I'll be honest, I know he had the interception Sunday. I still was not overly impressed with the way Kevin Byard played on Sunday. But we wondered last year, okay, how much of Kevin Byard's struggles were Kevin Byard declining, or how much of it was there was zero pass rush going on in front of him, and maybe he was trying to overcompensate for a defense that just wasn't very good. You know, I don't know that we know any clearer of an answer to that now, because it's not like the Titans' defense on Sunday just lit it up either, but he was a part of that. And Kevin Byard, I think it's fair to say, didn't play overly well on Sunday. So I don't think that's an overreaction. I think it is it's a valid concern if you're concerned out there that Kevin Byard is never going to return to being the same player.
Yeah,
we're going on a pretty big sample size right now of him not being the same player.
Right. So I agree. So it's not an overreaction, but what happens is things get overstated. So
yes.
Like Kevin Byard's a good player.
Yes.
You want him on your team, He's a good safety. He's a good player. There's still more good than bad. But, yeah, he's paid like an elite, difference-making, game-changing safety.
Number two on the list. Todd Downing is a big drop-off from Arthur Smith. Todd Downing, an offensive coordinator, is a big drop-off from Arthur Smith. Overreaction? No overreaction.
That's an easy call for me, overreaction. It's just
even
it's
counting just his history with the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, it's, look, it's, I mean, you're, it's high alert, okay? I'd call that a red flag Sunday. The red flags were popping up all over the place.
Yes, they were.
All over the field. But it's an overreaction. I mean, you can't, you just, we'll see. That's just, the with this offense, with this crew, it's one bad game. Again, with an offensive line that overall, I've got to say, if your offensive line plays like that, there aren't a lot of OCs who would find magic out of that, yep. Right? So, again, a lot of stuff I didn't like, too. But, yeah, that's an overreaction. And, again, let's go back 2 years ago. There was a whole bunch of why in the world did Vrabel elevate this tight ends coach?
Oh, yeah.
So, that's the big O for me, and we'll see.
I would say overreaction as well. Although, when you factor in the Raiders' history and what we saw in week one, I will admit I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Todd Downing.
Concern is fair.
Concerned is fair. Yeah, and that's not what I'm asking. I get that. But I am concerned about Todd Downing. Now, that Titans offense could go out there on Sunday and put up 38, and then you feel a whole lot better, I think, if you're a Titans fan. So I think it's too early to come away with a sweeping judgment on Todd Downing, but we knew this was going to be the case. Anytime the offense doesn't perform well with the talent they have, a lot of people are going to be looking at Todd Downing this year. A lot of pressure on that guy.
Well, and let's also, the question is step down from Arthur Smith. I still think probably the most impressive thing with Arthur Smith was losing Luan.
Yep.
And no, I don't care what anybody says. That's a huge loss. And still, and then adjusting to it last year and doing different things and still finding ways to have a 2,000-yard rusher, have a 31-point-a-game offense. So it is, I mean, it's a high bar. I love also, who was it, Bob? Bob on Twitter and others. Oh, Arthur Smith was 6 points, Mr. Genius. Come on.
I don't think it was Bob.
Well, if it's not, if it wasn't Bob, then I apologize, Bob. Bob's, you know, was it Joe?
Was it Joe
in Nashville?
It was Joe in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bob and Joe.
Well, this is a big week for Bob. Bob's a big Seahawks fan.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Okay, so it was Joe in Nashville. It's like, let's pump the brakes on that one. I think Arthur Smith inherited kind of a crappy team.
Well, you brought it up, and it's been a heavy point of reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com this week as well, including a lot of people not really on the side of Taylor Lewan. Overreaction or no overreaction, it's time to be worried about Taylor Lewan. A lot of Titans fans appear to be worried about Taylor Lewan. Is that an overreaction or not?
So the word, I'll go, that's an overreaction.
Okay.
Worried, I'm not, I wouldn't go there yet. Now, the word concerned, I might. I mean, how much difference is there between those two words?
There's a difference.
There's a little difference. I just thought, you know, he looked like he was healthy in the preseason. He's in good shape. He had a terrible game against a great player. And I understand all the complaining about the podcast and whatever, which, again, I think is dumb. But I get it. I understand that that's going to make him a punching bag in this situation. But I think, you know, Taylor Lewan, when I got here 5 years ago, there was a lot of unhappiness with him. And he's had the captaincy stripped from him by malarkey and all these things. But the thing is, you know, he was a great player, and he and Conklin that year, I mean, that's a big part of why that team was so good.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
Those two, they were just as good a tandem you probably had in the league. The guy has worked hard to be where he is, and I think he will respond. Now, is he going to be one of the top handful of left tackles in the game this year? I don't know. And if not, then again, you look at that contract in his future and who knows where it goes. But I would not say worried yet. I'd go overreaction.
I would go overreaction as well. I will be surprised if Taylor Lewan does not have a much better game. I think it's easy to say Taylor Lewan's going to play better on Sunday because it would be pretty hard for him to play worse.
Right. The bar's low.
Coming up on Sunday. I would be surprised if Lewan doesn't look significantly better based on what we saw Sunday, how embarrassing it was, and just, look, we know this. Taylor Lewan's a prideful guy. I think you're going to see him come out and play a lot better on Sunday. If you don't, then maybe it's time to start being worried about Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, well, look.
Keeping in mind he is coming off an ACL injury.
Right. Like, if he comes out and it's just as bad, then, yeah, then you can start maybe drifting from concerned to worried. I still also, like, think about 2 years ago. Totally different situation. Totally different situation. But suspension, 4 games. He didn't come right out. Like, he came out and there was some, and first of all, everybody's looking for it too, right? You better not miss a block, man. Yeah. But the first couple games weren't great. I mean, obviously they go scoreless against Denver. They score 7 points in 2 weeks, his first 2 weeks back. So it wasn't like, oh, Taylor Lewan, you've really helped that offense.
Right.
And he wasn't great right away. And then eventually, obviously the whole thing got great. It really did. That offensive line, man. So I still would hold off and give him a little bit of time. But, yeah, you gotta bounce back from last week. Bounce back from abhorrent in week two.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. We'll continue our Titans overreaction segment coming up next. Encourage your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Silly Underdog Picks is back. Get your friends or family and play as a group and sign up to play today. Pick the 3 football underdog teams you think will win each week for a chance to win weekly prizes like a pair of tickets to a sporting event or to a concert in Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up and play now. Silly Underdogs is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I mean, I almost don't want to start talking. I just want to kind of let the Backstreet Boys play here on Robbie and Rex.
Just do a segment of Backstreet Boys.
Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. It's just a great song.
So you're a fan too, huh?
I like the Backstreet Boys. Yeah. There's this big thing growing up in the 90s. Like, you either had to be a Backstreet Boys person or an NSYNC person. I enjoy both of them.
You couldn't just viciously hate both?
Well,
you can't say that is not the perfect karaoke song. Everyone knows the words.
I've seen people do it. I mean, see, the problem is, you know, you actually like a lot of karaoke songs. Like, if you can't sing,
it hurts.
It's not great. Yeah. But at least there is like a sing along part of it, makes it a little better. Yeah. Right?
See, that's my type of karaoke where you can't hear my voice, you can hear theirs, else's. But you're still singing and performing.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I mean, look. So I go back to NCOT B, which my little sister, you know, had the NCOT B posters up, New Kids on the Block. So they're kind of like,
thank you.
Well, I just want to make sure everybody knows what I'm talking about.
To be honest, I didn't know. So thank you.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Oh, it's amazing.
I was going to type in NCOT.
That's awesome.
You're like Googling all these weird references I make. So they're kind of like the forefathers to the Backstreet Boys, I guess.
Yeah.
About 10 years.
I'd say so.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan, but I
think they tour together now.
Oh, I'm
like
sure
it's New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys tour.
That would make sense. I'm into the hundreds on this. A lot of great stuff. A lot of stuff that you'd expect. Like, you know, like, again, I'm a huge Radiohead fan.
Yeah.
You know, Creep is 118.
Any Creed songs in there? You run across any Creed songs yet?
I have not run across. But, like, Creep would be my least favorite Radiohead song of all time. But it's not, you know, so, like, some of these things are. But you've got some Hank Williams. You've got some. Obviously, Ring of Fire in here. You know, there's a lot of stuff you would think is obvious. Something by the Beatles, which is a great song from Abbey Road, is, what is that, 110?
Well, if you're just
that's a George Harrison, by the way.
You're just now getting into the top 100. You'll see a lot of Creed coming up, so that's good to know.
I'm so glad I see Wu-Tang Clan. Probably my favorite hip-hop artist, but Cream, Casuals Everything Around Me, number 107. Like, again, it's way down my list, but I get it. Anyway,
got a texture that says that music entry was awesome, referring to the Backstreet Boys. A lot of Backstreet Boys fans out
there.
Lots
more to come. Thank you, whoever said that.
I probably appreciate them more now. Like, when it was out, I mean, it was like, no. I mean, I would rather listen to someone put nails on a chalkboard.
Jeez.
But I mean, they they've got
they're good, Joe.
They've got
say
some
it.
Ability.
They're good,
yeah,
Joe.
They've got some ability. Yeah, I
mean, got some upside. You know, they got potential. They got a high ceiling.
Potential, yes. As they're already come and gone, pretty much.
Yes,
well, you know
that's right.
You know what I'm saying.
Playing Titans overreaction or no overreaction after week one. We've run through some topics. Got some more to get through here to get Rex Rhodes' thoughts on. Encourage your participation as well on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Rhodes, overreaction or no overreaction. The kicking situation for the Titans will cost them at least one game this season. And I mean directly. Directly cost them. At least one game this season. Overreaction or no overreaction?
See, so now you're getting into predictions.
Yeah. Well, but this is basically a two-year build-up for this.
Yeah. I would say no overreaction. I could absolutely see it. I mean, I don't know that for sure. I don't know that it's going to happen.
Sure.
But if basically I'm guessing yes or no, then I'm going to guess yes. I mean, this week you're going out there. And you could be in a good game, and you could have a problem because I mean you've that was actually pretty good from Vrabel yesterday.
Yes, every time I expect the kickers to do their job,
and he was like,
whether it's Brett Kern, Randy Bullock, or the 53 other kickers they've had.
Yeah. I was like, hey, good one.
Hey,
good
way
one.
To go, Vrabel.
Good one,
good
Vrabel.
Stuff.
Yeah. No, I would say no overreaction there. I think it's a problem and. I think this is one of those that's more bad luck than blame for them, in my opinion. But the blame goes back 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Mark from Clarksville saying the kicking game might cost them two or three games this season. And remember, I'm saying directly. Like, the kicking game was awful on Sunday. The kicking game did not cost them that game on Sunday.
No. Now, I guess if you make the extra point, you make the field goal, and it's 24-10, nah.
Still couldn't block Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
It'd be tough.
Yeah. Now, maybe, you know, maybe you put the kicker out there as an extra, you know, chip. You can chip Chandler Jones with him. Maybe. I don't know.
Overreaction or no overreaction, the Titans should have signed Kenny Vaccaro this week. Overreaction or no overreaction?
Oh, I'd say overreaction. I mean, I think it's a name who came to mind, and I don't know everything that's going on with that. I mean, look, he's unsigned in general. So, I mean, I'd say that that's probably not all to do with him, I'm guessing. It's probably also to do with his film from last year, and clearly the Titans, you know, saved some money, but it wasn't like he was on a big deal anyway. So I called an overreaction. I also would not call it an overreaction to consider it.
Yeah. I just look at that safety spot right now with Hooker on IR for the next few weeks. Was Kenny Vaccaro really that bad last year where you wouldn't trust a Kenny Vaccaro over a Bradley McDougald or a Matias Farley? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think, one, the answer may be in just ability to run.
Could be.
And then, two, I think the answer in this moment is, well, and McDougald is recent.
Yeah.
But Farley's been there through the spring and through this. And it's just, well, you know, it's not like it's always the exact same stuff, same defense. I mean, it's basically the same. It's the same jargon. But they've been working in the defense. They've also gone through a camp. They're ready to play. They're game shape, all that stuff. So you think that you're going to bring this guy in cold and it's going to be better? That's the response. So I don't think it's like I immediately tweeted, was Kenny Vaccaro interesting here?
Yeah.
I think it's worth a thought, but I don't think it's an overreaction, or I do think it's an overreaction to say that they just absolutely should have signed him. There's information we don't have on that.
Overreaction or no overreaction, this draft class is on course to be another bad draft class from John Robinson. We're one game in.
Overreaction, but that's an overreaction with a but. It's concerning. It's concerning right now.
Your second round pick, not active on game day. You cut your fourth round pick, and your first round pick basically got in during garbage time to play.
Yep. It's not looking good. Now, Caleb Farley, who knows? Could be great. Could be a great 10-year cornerback in the league. I don't know. He looks like a guy who could be a good cornerback in the NFL. And, you know, Ray Dunn's is a long – I mean, it's a process. It's different than last year when, you know, you didn't even know if, like, your first-round pick was going to show up to work. But, yeah. But I mean, it's still rough to draft him in the second round. And he almost not immediately, but pretty quickly in camp goes from, yep, okay, he can't play tackle. Let's move him inside. Then again, he made some progress and he did some pretty good things in preseason games at right tackle, but for him to not even be active, that's not great. I mean, Rashad Weaver was one of the picks I thought was like a good pick, and obviously that was before the off the field stuff, but I thought still on the field he was going to matter this year. He's not active on game day.
Well, Elijah Molden was on the field and got smoked.
Yep, had a tough day, but yep. I think that's going to work out for them.
I agree.
I think Weaver could too. And look, it's an overreaction. It is early. So many things could change. And it's one game. But last year, as bad as that draft class looks right now, second round pick may yet work out for you pretty well.
Yeah.
So be a big we'll see a lot more about him Sunday, Christian Fulton. But I think everybody, I mean, Mike Vrabel confirmed kind of what we thought too, you know, just watching the game, like, okay, he looks like he's ready to have a pretty good year.
Overreaction or no overreaction, starting 0-2 would make you feel much differently about the Titans being a Super Bowl contender. Starting 0-2 would make you feel differently about the Titans being a Super Bowl contender.
Much or just no much? I want to know if the much is in there.
I'll put much in there.
You put much in there. Yeah. Then I'm going to say overreaction. Now, also, I'd like to know, how does 0-2 look? Do they lose a 30-27 game Sunday, look way better, and just fall to a really good team that also could be a Super Bowl contender? Okay. Then I think it's certainly an overreaction. Do they get boat raced again? Well, that matters.
Well, I had them going 13-4. They go 0-2. They're off to a tough start on the road to 13-4.
Yeah. Well, I figured, you know, they needed to split these first two. I had them going 12-5.
I did have them splitting this first two.
But, you know, I mean, look, again, 2-4, and then they totally changed the team. Now, I don't think you're going to see too many more dramatic changes, especially on one side of the ball, as we saw 2 years ago. But it is a long season, all the cliches. A lot of things can change, and I still think that they've got a lot of ingredients to be great.
And then very quickly, one that I don't think is an overreaction at all. The AFC South will be the worst division in the AFC. Overreaction, no overreaction, based on 1 week.
Okay, now I need to...
You got the AFC West, the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos. Broncos look pretty good.
Yeah, certainly putting this division behind that, certainly.
Yes. The North, even with the Ravens' injuries, Steelers a big win, the Bengals a big win. The Browns, tough loss to Kansas City, but I think you still feel pretty good about the Browns.
Yeah, they're better.
And then the East,
that's
the Bills,
one.
The Dolphins, the Patriots, the Jets. That's the one that's right there with it.
Yeah, but I mean, the Bills are still going to be really good. The Patriots are at least going to be competent.
Miami looked okay.
Miami looked pretty good. So,
yeah, no.
Not an overreaction. It's the worst. Thanks, Urban.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, Urban. Urban to USC.
Yes. Overreaction and overreaction. Urban to USC.
That's a stupid reaction.
Let's quickly go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Josh texting in, is it a bad draft class if the upside in Farley becomes a reality, but none of the other picks really contribute that much? I would say if you hit on one pick, even if it is your first-round pick, still a bad draft class.
Well, okay, so let's say no one else does anything, but Caleb Farley's like an all-pro or a pro bowler. It's still like you can't survive that way. Like you can't sustain a good franchise if that's all. If you're just going one great player in each class, you have to have more than that. But it wouldn't. I mean, it would help. It would not be a complete zero as last year's looking. Again, last year's draft class. We've forgotten about him. I remember him because I'm seeing stuff on Twitter about him, like getting he got baptized and engaged. But Darrington,
it was a heck of a week for Darrington Evans.
Yeah. But Darrington Evans. I still think, I mean, you watched McNichols the other day and he's out there and they trust him. Hey, Darrington Evans could really help this offense.
Yep. Ron texting in, why can't we go get Malcolm Butler since he's retired? This secondary needs a bully.
Yeah, I just...
Whatever's going on with Malcolm Butler, I mean, I don't think that he just wanted to stop playing for the Arizona Cardinals. No. There's something going on.
There's something going on, but also, let's just say Malcolm Butler was just out there on the market. Like, I know that Jenkins had a rough day, okay? Like Malcolm Butler had a few of those, too, with the Titans. That I don't look at corner outside as like you bring in Butler, whose speed is a big part of why whose reduction in speed from the time he got here to the time he was done is part of why he's not here anymore. That's, I mean, I guess go get Butler, go get Delanie Walker, go get Zach Mettenberger. I don't know.
Zach Piller, bring him back on the O-line.
There you go.
Friend of the show.
Still, he's big. He's still big.
Yes. When we come back, we'll switch gears, get into the Vols. Some interesting comments yesterday from Josh Heupel regarding the quarterback position, why he's blowing a little bit of smoke, and why I understand why he's doing it. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media Nashville are helping our friends at WQMV in Waverly rebuild from the catastrophic floods last month. Head over to thegamenashville.com to learn how you can help as well, as the radio station suffered major damage to their structure, equipment, and more. We want everyone affected by the floods to know that you're not alone and to keep being Humphreys County strong. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got the best and worst thing in sports coming up here in about 10 minutes or so at 745. Josh Heupel speaking yesterday in advance of Tennessee's game coming up on Saturday against Tennessee Tech. And it's been interesting to me the last couple of weeks, Joe, to watch kind of the dance that Josh Heupel is doing when it comes to the quarterback position. And I understand why. And it's just the sign of the times as a college football head coach now that this is necessary. But basically yesterday, you know, obviously everybody wants to know if Joe Milton's healthy and whether or not he's going to be able to play in this game. And there's no clarity on that. Starting quarterback's not been announced on Saturday for that game. But also got into the Hendon Hooker-Harrison Bailey discussion yesterday. And Heupel basically saying that the first two games with Hooker playing had as much to do with the situation and what was what the Vols were doing offensively as there is a gap between Hooker and Bailey. And Heupel goes on to say, quote, our staff and players have got great confidence in both the guys. Hendon, just where we were during the course of the week of practice and what we were doing offensively, felt like it was the right time for him to be the guy that would go in the football game. You guys have heard me say it before. The strength of one position can never be one guy, and all those guys have had a really good week of practice here. So I hear Josh Heupel and those words. To me, Joe, it's pretty clear that Hendon Hooker is the backup quarterback, and very well could be the starter heading into this game. And Harrison Bailey is third on the depth chart. But the song and dance that Josh Heupel's trying to do is what you got to do now as a college football coach, because he wants to keep those three guys around and wants to keep them in that room as long as possible. It's interesting to watch how he's going to handle this as more and more games go by and Harrison Bailey does not see the field.
Yeah. I mean, every chance he's had, even when he hasn't been asked about Bailey or whatever, like if he's asked about quarterbacks, he has often gone to, and by the way, we believe in all of them. And, you know, I mean, yes, it's very much the roster management, a dance that coaches have to do. I don't know that it'll matter. I mean, if Harrison Bailey doesn't play a role this year, doesn't get on the field, and at this point I would not expect him to unless someone's hurt, then I think he'll be somewhere else
like to me
next year. But again, this is typical.
As it stands now, Saturday's his best chance to get on the field. If Joe Milton isn't healthy or you feel like there's a question with Joe Milton, I don't know how much benefit there is to playing him against Tennessee Tech. So you're probably going to see Hendon Hooker start the game if that's the case. And you're hoping, if you're Josh Heupel in Tennessee, that the offense plays well enough that you're up big and then maybe Harrison Bailey can get into the game on Saturday against Tennessee Tech. But to me, if Milton and Hooker are healthy, I don't think we're going to see much of Harrison Bailey this year.
Yeah. Well, this was usually I plan, you know, to like promote my stories in The Athletic, you know, but this leads right into a 3,700 word mailbag about with a whole bunch of questions about why the heck is Harrison Bailey not playing for the Vols from Vols fans, which is really. Thank you. This is totally impromptu. It just keeps coming up. I don't know, man. It's a little weird because it's not like obviously Milton was not great in the opener, and then it was very frustrating with Milton overthrowing all the bombs after that. But I thought Hendon Hooker was pretty good, and I thought it was pretty clear in the spring before Joe Milton entered the fray that Hendon Hooker was just outperforming Harrison Bailey. And I know that then that gets what does the public see? What do the fans see? They see Harrison Bailey. What did he connect on two bombs in that spring game? I think he did. Yes. At least one.
Yes.
And again, I mean, Harrison Bailey, I didn't see anything last year that made me think, you know, he's not a possibly good college quarterback. I also didn't see anything that blew me away. Like, and that's the thing. It's always like these recruits, before they have played, they are just going to be the greatest thing ever. I mean, Jerry Garantano, when he was Garantano still, was just going to, how the heck is he not on the field? Then you saw
Dual threat quarterback.
Exactly. Garantano. You got to get a guy who can run in there, you know. By the way, that's part of the answer here, too, is, I mean, I think especially with Hooker, of the three, but still with Milton, too. You know, the QB run game as an element, as a threat, I'd say that's a nice thing to have. And then if you still feel like all the other things are as good or better than Harrison Bailey, I mean, it's pretty clear why he'd be number three. But I agree. I think that a lot of this is Heupel trying to, you know, keep everybody and say nice things.
It's like
things.
A juggling act watching him out there.
And it happens all over the sport, and it typically doesn't matter at all because – at this point in college football, and you are recruiting quarterbacks off other staffs, or even if you're not quote-unquote recruiting them, you are keeping your eyes peeled for quarterbacks on other staffs who you know from the recruitment process who are probably going to be moving on. I mean, it's just the movement. It's always been a heavy transfer, even before the transfer thing was before the portal and stuff. It was always a common thing, of course. But now especially, it's like, boom, it happens fast. People don't wait around much.
People don't wait around. And, you know, Josh Heupel's got some quarterback recruits coming in as well. So, I mean, the quarterback room, it's going to be crowded. I mean, one of these three guys, I think we knew heading into this season, they're not going to be there after this. I mean,
well, it was four, remember. It was five.
Yeah.
It was five. It was five in the spring. It wasn't five in the spring because Milton wasn't there yet. But at one point, it was five.
It was five with Caden Salter. Is he out there?
I haven't heard.
Haven't checked on his status at Liberty with good old Hugh Freeze.
Is he?
If you'd have told me last year.
Can he play this year? Yeah.
I don't know. If you would have told me last year at this time that Caden Salter would be playing for Hugh Freeze, I'm like, really? How about that? So the Vols hired Hugh Freeze, huh?
All right. Made all the Vols fans happy.
How about that?
Yeah.
Didn't work out that way. But that just goes to show, and that's kind of a different situation, but the quarterback room does change very quickly, and I would expect if things continue to go the way they're going right now, Harrison Bailey's not going to be here next year, would be my guess. So we'll see what happens on that front with the Tennessee quarterback situation and who starts coming up on Saturday against Tennessee Tech. When we come back, it is time for the best and worst thing in sports. We'll take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst thing in sports. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as we do every week, we'll start with the best thing in sports. Would you like to kick us off with the best thing in sports that you've seen in the past week? What is your favorite story in sports?
So my best and worst this week, I'm hyper local, okay?
Okay.
Keeping it local.
Nothing wrong with that.
You don't have to keep it local, but I think it actually is a nice sort of yin and yang here. So my best thing this week is that tonight Waverly and White House are playing a game at Nissan Stadium.
It's a good one.
And the Titans, you know, have done a lot. And again, the Titans aren't alone in this. I think the community has done a great job of helping after the awful and tragic flooding in Waverly. But I think this is a really nice extra touch and a moment these kids are going to remember forever. And, you know, they're going to call the game. They're going to set it up just like a Titans game day, video boards and instant replays and all that stuff. I mean, that's cool. It's a cool idea. It's an extra thing beyond what you'd expect. You expect, you know, your pro sports franchises to raise money and
sure.
equipment thing. But this is a cool extra thing that they're doing. So I love it. I think it's going to – you know, it's again, these kids, this is going to be a lifetime memory for these kids. So kudos to the Titans for that. That's my best thing.
That's really good. It's going to be hard to top that one. Michelle Knezevic, your best thing in sports for the week.
Okay, mine is a little biased because we all know I love a little Kentucky basketball, but signed another top five-star recruit.
Another recruit coming
no
in for
way. No way.
This tweet was my best thing in sports. So this is by Kyle underscore Boone.
Okay.
It's time to talk with your kids about the possibility of John Calipari putting together the best recruiting class of all time in 2022. Could wind up with 6 top 20 commits in the cycle. Only one program has ever done that in the modern era. Kentucky 2013.
I wonder if that'll be enough to get him past one national title.
Okay, Robbie. Don't even start.
Will they get an NCAA bid with this class?
Yeah. Do you think they could get in the tournament, man?
You know what? It made my day yesterday. I can't wait for basketball season. Oh, and also Peyton and Eli, but we already talked about that a lot, right. But that was my best as well. Robbie, right. Your turn.
See, I can't say too much because anytime basketball gets introduced, I'm happy, so.
Yes, you are. My best thing in sports, look, every year we see things in the crowd in college football, which are very unique. I mean, you go watch an Arkansas Razorbacks game, you'll see a grown man with a hog costume on. I mean, you could see a lot of things that are very memorable. But shout out to the people at the University of Miami in the crowd for saving the life of a cat.
Oh, nice.
Dangling from the stadium. It was a horrifying video that someone took. A cat, if you've not seen it, is in Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday night as Miami is playing, or whatever they were doing out there on the football field, because playing was not going very well for them. But a cat is literally dangling for its life off like this wire at Hard Rock Stadium. And the people in the crowd below, they get flags together. They catch the falling cat. They save the cat's life, and it moves on. So shout out to the crowd at the University of Miami. The best thing in sports this week.
I still haven't heard like how it even got to that, but that's a great one.
Incredible. The video is incredible if you haven't seen it.
It's all over Twitter if you've not seen that. The Hard Rock Stadium cat.
Nice.
Again, have no clue how the cat got there. I have no clue what happened to the cat after. But I know that it was alive. So that's a good step.
Good stuff.
Joe Rexroad, your worst thing in sports for the week.
Yeah, so like I said, hyperlocal, you know, you got on the one hand, good job Titans organization. On the other hand, the Titans team. I mean, I know it's obvious, and it's all we've mostly talked about this week, but my God, were they bad. Just so bad.
It's bad.
And again, I will raise my hand because I've heard this from fans. You know, it's fair. You hyped this team up so much. Like, you know what? You're not. I detect no lies. Part of the problem here, believing this team is going to be great. And again, yes, it's overreaction week to one performance, but my God, was it a bad performance.
It was very, very bad. Michelle Knezevic, your worst thing in sports for the week.
Joe, the most anticipated season since when?
That's right. Since never.
My worst in sports this week. It actually happened yesterday. The USA Women's Gymnastics members, they said statements on the Larry Nassar whole situation, and it basically, long story short, if you haven't followed the case or don't know about it, but the FBI just really didn't begin the investigation when all these complaints were made, and USA Gymnastics, they're just finding out more and more as this goes on about how much was hidden, and I mean, obviously just incredibly awful, but I do think if there is a bright side of it, is just raising awareness and these athletes using their platform to, you know, tell their stories and hopefully make a difference, but just absolutely awful.
That's a very good one. It's infuriating. And the prosecutor in the case had a very, I'm forgetting her name, Angie Povilaitis, had a long thread on, not just like that they, I mean, like they obstructed it. It's bizarre, honestly, what the feds did with this back in 2016. So that's a good one.
Watch Athlete A if you haven't on Netflix.
My worst thing in sports is something that we've played a little bit of a part of this week, and that is the overreaction of week one. And not just overreaction, because I think overreaction to some degree, watching the result of a game, is natural. But it's the then reaching for storylines that don't really have anything to do with what we saw on the field, that becoming the main story. For instance, the only talking point out of the New Orleans-Green Bay game, other than Jameis Winston is now going to win NFL MVP, is the fact that Aaron Rodgers and the offseason that they had with the Packers is directly responsible for them getting beat 38-3. Marcus Spears was on ESPN talking about this, about how if you don't think that the offseason had something to do with how they got shellacked in game one, you don't know what you're talking about. Never mind, the offensive line couldn't block anyone, and the defense never got off the field for the Packers, neither of which Aaron Rodgers has anything to do with. So it's the creating storylines to fit your narrative that's not really there part of the overreaction that really gets on my nerves in week one.
That's a good one. Actually, that kind of reminds me of it's almost like the Brady thing.
Yeah.
Like if anyone does anything on the team or whatever, it must be because Tom Brady's on his team,
yes.
Right? So, yeah, like somebody stinks on the defensive side of the ball for the Pack. Like Kevin King's coverage must be because like Aaron Rodgers has a flap.
Didn't show up till July. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Robbie, that's Aaron should be able to deal with it.
Yeah, apparently so. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers sucked Sunday. I don't think there's any way around that. And maybe he should have participated in the offseason workout program. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be okay as they move forward here. The defense, atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious.
Yeah, the thing is, like, sometimes there is a link between drama off the field and performance. And again, it's like the whole thing with the Julio Jones quote. One quote from Vrabel, really correctly calling out like a bad damaging play, but then people are going to take it to, they must be fighting, behind the scenes. I mean, you don't know that, but yeah, it's going to happen though. And sometimes there's truth in it.
Yeah.
But like that example of yours, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes logic is just completely abandoned in these things.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dennis texting in, the worst thing, the Titans head coach and new star wide receiver hate each other. I don't know how they're going to make it through the season. With a nice emoji winky face.
I was going to say, you got the sarcasm tag?
Overreaction.
In
it's sarcasm.
Sarcasm asterisk, yeah.
Well done, Dennis.
Yep, good one.
Gator Tim texting in, Calipari will do an amazing job of underachieving again. Michelle's worst thing, Calipari is still the coach at Kentucky.
Man, during hoop season, Michelle, it might get a little rough around here.
No comment, okay? No comment.
Bob on Twitter saying his worst thing in sports is the Sonics leaving Seattle. That's been a while. Bob's still not getting over the Sonics
leaving Seattle. I'm sorry, Bob.
Wonder if Bob is a big Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
Got the Kraken, Bob. You got the Kraken, baby.
By the way, honorable mention for my best thing in sports, and I'm glad that Nate pointed this out on Twitter. At NotKDK3 on Twitter has come out with this post, and the title of it is, if I didn't know anything about college football, here's what I'd guess each SEC coach did for a living. And it's just a picture of all the coaches in the SEC. And like, for instance, Nick Saban's a car salesman. Ed Orgeron works in waste management. Dan Mullen's a real estate agent. I mean, some of these are really spot on. Lane Kiffin, pharmaceutical sales. There's a lot of really good ones in here.
I really actually like Josh Heupel's high school booster club president.
Yes, that's pretty good. Eli, honorable mention for the best thing in sports.
Eli Drinkwitz, tax accountant. Yeah, I'm with you.
It's good stuff. That has been the best and worst thing in sports. We'll continue to take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll be joined by our good friend Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.